Josh's fault. Can I get an amen on that? Okay, good. Josh gave it to him. No, he didn't really give it to him, but yeah, that's right. But he and I have both been struggling with this, but anyway, he's fighting through it, singing, so I have no excuse. But Jonathan asked me to come up here and just give you a quick devotional thought, something to challenge all of us, and I'm honored to do so tonight. Just about maybe a few weeks ago, my son and I were watching an NFL football game on TV, and it was live TV, and it came to a commercial. And my son, I could see him out of my corner of my eye. He looked at me, and he looked at the TV, and then he looked at me, and I looked back and said, "What?" And he said, "Fast forward it." And I said, "Man, I can't. It's live TV." And he said, "What are you talking about?" And I said, "Man, I can't. Like, it's happening right now." And his response was, "So we've got to watch the commercials?" And I said, "We do. I feel your pain, man. I know your struggle." But every now and then when we're watching commercials, a commercial comes on that we're like, "Ooh, that's actually pretty good. That was funny, or that has some good information." And some of my favorite commercials that we see are these right here, Southwest Airlines. Does anybody know the tagline to these commercials? Anybody? Nobody? That's good. All right. That's going to be a good crack. What is it? Okay. All right. Or want to get away? That too. Same thing. Yeah, same thing. I think they kind of combined them. That's good. But want to get away. And what these commercials do, they're hilarious to me. And I probably can relate to them very much because I find myself in these situations. But people are in situations or in conversations where they just really want to get out of them. They really want to get away or travel the world, whatever you said, travel the world. And they really just don't want to be there. And the one that recently came out, this guy's walking down the street, and he jumps into a vehicle thinking it's his Uber driver. But it's far from his Uber driver. And this is what happens in this commercial.
Address should be there, 1800 Ann Street.
Hello?
Yeah, it's your driver. I'm on the go, go, go!
Uh-huh.
Don't send no hostages!
Want to get away? Now you can with Southwest fares as low as $59.
And so we can all relate to that, can't we? I mean, we've all been in that situation. Not that we've robbed banks, but we've all been in situations before where we're like, how did I get in this situation or how did I find myself in this conversation? Man, I really just want to get away and really get out of here. When we read through the Bible, we see a lot of want to get away conversations that take place. And if you have your Bible tonight, open that up to the Gospel of Luke. Or if you have your phone, please, turn on your phone to the Gospel of Luke. And if you're a guest with us, we use words like gospel. And there's four gospels in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And gospel simply means good news. And these four books talk about Jesus Christ. And he's the good news of our life because he came to this earth and he died on the cross and he rose again. And through him, we have life, we have hope, we have everything. And so that's why we call it the good news. But in the Gospel of Luke, we open it up and we see where John the Baptist comes. And he's starting to prepare the way for Jesus. And then Jesus is baptized and he's sent off into the desert to be tempted for 40 days by Satan. And then after he's tempted, he comes back and he's calling his 12 apostles. But then we see large crowds start really flocking to Jesus. Man, they're just coming to him. In any town that he's entering, people are just coming to him. One, they want to hear what he's going to say next. Jesus was a great teacher, and he's teaching about not judging others. He's talking about loving our enemies. He's talking about the wise and the foolish builders. He's talking through parables, and one of those parables is a man or a farmer that goes out and he sows his seed. And how the seed lands on different grounds is how God's word lands on our hearts. But so people are flocking to him to hear these teachings. But people are also flocking to him because they want to see what he's going to do next. Because he's performing many miracles. Imagine being in the crowd and a man with leprosy walks up to Jesus and says, "Jesus, can you heal me?" And he says, "Absolutely, you're healed." And getting to witness that. Imagine being in the crowd when Jesus feeds the 5,000 or raises a dead girl from the grave. And all of these great things. So many people are coming to Jesus, but majority of people are coming to Jesus because they have a need. They are looking for something. They either need a miracle in their life or they have a question that they need an answer to. And so over here, you see many people coming and saying, Jesus, I need this. I have leprosy. Can you heal me? Or I have this question. Can you answer it? And a lot of people are getting the answers that they are looking for, and they go away happy. But then over here, you see a crowd, too, who's flocking to Jesus and running to Jesus, asking questions. And they leave disappointed. They're not getting the answers that they were expecting. And Jesus isn't saying to them what they thought he was going to. And one of those stories is in Luke chapter 10, a true want-to-get-away moment, starting with verse 38. It says, as Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him in her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat down at the feet of the Lord and listened to his teaching. Martha was upset over all the work she had to do. So she came and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to come and help me. And so from the outside looking in, we think, well, that's a pretty legit request. I mean, Martha's up doing all the work. I mean, Jesus, tell Mary to go help. And so she's expecting Jesus to say, yeah, Mary, you probably need to go help her, and then you can come sit at my feet. But she got an answer that she wasn't looking for, an answer that she wasn't expecting. And it says that the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled over so many things, but just one thing is needed. Can you imagine being Martha going, what? It's not what I thought you were going to say. A want-to-get-away moment. And then two chapters later, we see another situation in Luke 12, 13, where a guy fights through the crowd, and he finally comes to Jesus, and he says, Teacher, tell my brother to divide with me the property our father left for us. Once again, on the outside looking in, we think, that's a pretty legit question. Like, yeah, that seems fair. But once again, he didn't get the answer that he was expecting. Matter of fact, Jesus jumps into a parable and he says this. This is his response to the man. There was once a rich man who had land which bore him good crops. He began to think to himself, I don't have a place to keep all my crops. What can I do? This is what I will do, he told himself. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones where I will store the grain and all my other goods. Then I will say to myself, lucky man, you have all the good things you need for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and enjoy yourself. But God said to him, you fool, this very night you will have to give up your life. Then who's going to get all these things that you have kept for yourself? Imagine being that man. God, I was just asking for you to tell my brother to divide this inheritance, but yet you go into that story. Went away disappointed, a true want-to-get-away moment. And then we go into Luke chapter 18, and this Jewish leader comes to Jesus, starting with verse 18, and he says this, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he gets the answer he was looking for. Jesus says, oh, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not commit murder. Do not steal. Do not accuse anyone falsely. Respect your father and your mother. And the man thought, yes, I've done all of those things. He was probably ready to walk away going, I got the answer I was looking for. But then Jesus dropped the bombshell on him. Oh, but there is one more thing. You need to go and sell all of your possessions and give all of your things away to the poor. And once you do that, then you can come back and follow me. And the scriptures tell us that the man went away sad because he was a man of great wealth. And so once again, you see Jesus performing all of these great miracles, and people have questions, and he's answering those in the way that they expect and in a way that they want. But we see a lot of want-to-get-away moments where people are walking away going, wow, that wasn't what I expected. And so my question tonight is this, why? Why does it seem as if people are flocking to Jesus and a lot of people are getting what they want? But then a lot of people are flocking to Jesus and they're leaving empty, or they think they're leaving empty. But truth be told, there's a common thread that goes through all of these answers that Jesus is giving to these people. Something that all of these people struggled with, and something that majority of us in this room are still struggling with today, that we'll get to in a minute. You know, a couple of Sundays ago in Sunday morning class, we kind of took a trip down memory lane, and we talked about our childhood and things that we had growing up as a child. You know, today kids have, you know, Wii's and Xboxes and PlayStations and cell phones and computers. They have 100, you know, TV stations on the television. We didn't have that growing up. So what did we do growing up? We played outside. Man, we had fun. I can remember coming home from school and my mom saying, hey, take off your school clothes, get on your play clothes, and go outside. And our play clothes were what? Our school clothes that didn't fit anymore. And so trying to get on your play clothes, but we didn't care, mismatching clothes. We couldn't wait to get outside. Our punishment as kids was when our parents said, hey, you're grounded. You have to stay inside. And we're like, no. Tell a kid today, you're grounded. You have to stay inside. They're like, I ain't going outside anyway, so I'm good. But do you ever look back at some of the games that we played as kids and think, how are we still alive? How are we still here? Okay, I'm going to pop a picture on the screen, and I really just want to see your face when this picture pops up. Some of you are going to get it. You're going to be like, oh, yes, I know exactly where you're going with this. And some are going to go, ooh. But these were very popular where I grew up in Lone Oak, and this was a constant game with me and my friends. This right here. Anybody know where I'm going with this? Okay, good. Those with your hands up. What did we do with these? We threw them at each other, okay? We would divide up into two separate teams, go to the playground, and we would light these things, and we got good. We would light and wait till it got right there, and then we'd flick it, and it would be go, and it'd pop right by your friend's head, and you're like, yeah. Colin, you know what I'm talking about. We'd have smoke bombs, and we're throwing smoke bombs and all these things. One of my friends, I'll never forget, he had a PVC pipe. His dad made it for him, PVC pipe with two handles, and he'd put bottle rockets in there and be like, pfft. But, man, we had battles all the time, okay? When I grew up, we did have trampolines. But do you remember the most popular game on the trampoline? Crack the egg. That's right, crack the egg. How many of you ever played crack the egg? How many of you don't know what crack the egg is? Okay, I'll tell you, and you're going to be like, wow, y'all were dumb. So somebody would volunteer. They'd get in the middle of the trampoline. They'd get down in a ball, and for 15 seconds, your friends would just bounce you, and you're spinning all around the place. And the whole object of the game was I have to stay like this in the egg, in the ball, the whole 15 seconds. If my friends made me do this, then I lost. They cracked the egg, okay? But we didn't play on trampolines that looked like this, did we? Do you remember what our trampolines looked like? That was our trampolines. I'll never forget, man. Some of my friends would double bounce, and they'd be flipping off the trampoline, but, boy, they're hanging onto their egg. And you know what? Most of the crack the egg was spent where? Besides the ground. Most of crack the egg was spinning those things right there. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. I can remember friends falling there, and they're like, but I'm still in my egg. I win. You know, going home with cuts, and parents are like, you had fun? It was a blast. We loved it. We used to play tackle football with no pads. We used to grab pine cones and throw them at each other. I mean, we were just, once again, how are we still here? By the grace of God, that's why. But then we'd go to school and you'd think, oh, it got better at school. No, it didn't. No, it didn't, because we would play games like this. I can still remember looking across going, don't you call Billy over here. Billy's going to take out six of us. Don't call Billy over here. Call little Susie. Yeah, we got little Susie. Somebody told me a couple weeks ago that teachers have now outlawed this game in school. And you know why? Because they played it as kids and they know now, no, we're not playing that game. You know, kids today have slides that look like this, you know, with the safety sides and the little bumps, and it's not very high. Do I even have to show you what our slides look like? This was our slides. There ain't no safety side. If you fall off, that's part of it. And you could not slide from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Can I get an amen on that one? Because you would get third-degree burns on the back of your leg. But also this right here, I have to point this out. These swing sets. Man, we used to have some high swing sets. And, boy, you'd get your friends rocking you, and, boy, you'd get going so high that it'd kind of jump and bounce. But what would we do when we get to the top? Jump out. Man, we couldn't have done that any better if we rehearsed it. Jump out. That was us. I remember being at recess one day, and I jumped out, okay, and landed, and a teacher went, that's his mark. Who's going to beat it? Like, they were letting us play these games. And so we used to love playing outside, but I can guarantee you this. For 2 or 3 hours each week, there was a time slot when no kid wanted to be outside. No kid. You couldn't find a kid outside. It was like a ghost town. Does anybody remember what day of the week that was? Saturday morning. Because what came on Saturday mornings? Cartoons. Can I get another amen for cartoons? I can remember waking up on Saturday, sitting there, and you're like, it's Saturday. No school but cartoons. And I'd run in there in your tight, mismatched pajamas, and you'd get your bowl of Captain Crunch or Frosted Flakes or whatever it is, and you'd sit in front of the TV, and you couldn't wait to watch your favorite cartoons. Do you remember the music that used to play when cartoons would come in? It was just melt your soul. Guess what? I've got that. Y'all ready? OK, Okay, so everybody close your eyes, act like you're sitting in front of the TV. You got your cereal. Okay, and then you hear this right here. And now Josh is going to lead us in a closing prayer. That's all we need right there. No, man, we used to love cartoons, okay? And some of my favorites, I kind of went around and asked some of you, what are your favorite cartoons? These are some of my G.I. Joe, He-Man, Inspector Gadget, Scooby-Doo. I mean, I could go on and on, favorite cartoons. But by far, without a doubt, my favorite cartoon growing up was this one right here, Roadrunner. How many of you love Roadrunner? We knew that Wile E. Coyote wasn't going to catch Roadrunner, but we just wanted to see how he would fail. Like, all right, what's he going to do? What creativity is he going to come up with? How's this going to backfire on him? When I read through the Bible, starting in Genesis chapter 3, and we look when God told Adam and Eve, look, you can have anything in this garden that you want, anything in this garden, except for that tree. You can have anything you want except for that tree. But yet they chose that tree. From that point on, all throughout Scripture, we see many people that look just like this. They're chasing their roadrunner. They think, man, if I could just catch that, if I could just be this, it would bring me peace and happiness. If I could just get there, it would fulfill my dreams. And all of these people that we just read about in Scripture, the three examples, which there's many more. When we look at the story of Mary and Martha, there's many reasons why Jesus answered her the way that he did. But you know what Martha was really chasing? Approval. Jesus, look at me. When we go over to the next couple of chapters and the guy said, look, divide the inheritance. He didn't get the answer that he was expecting because he was really chasing security. And then we go over and, of course, the man who went away sad, he was chasing money. He was chasing wealth. And it's not just those three. It's all throughout the Scriptures. I mean, look at the apostles. They were constantly arguing amongst each other. What were they arguing about? Who's the greatest? You know why they were arguing that? Because they wanted to know, Jesus, tell us who's the most popular. Tell us, we're chasing status. We're chasing power. Let us know which one is the greatest. And so all through Scripture, we see people that look like Wile E. Coyote, and they think, man, if I could just catch Roadrunner, I'm going to be happy. You know who else looks like Roadrunner or Wile E. Coyote? Me. You know who else looks like Wile E. Coyote? Too many of us in this room. And I appreciate y'all. And when I said that, some of y'all raised your hand. I appreciate you being honest. Too many of us in the world today think, man, if I could just be this, if I could just capture that, if I could just become more popular, if I could just make a little bit more money, if I could just become more secure, if I could just get the approval of this person or that person or whatever it is, that we would be happy. You know why Jesus answered those questions and they were want-to-get-away moments? The reason he did? Because he knows that those are dead inroads. Those are miraged in the desert. Those things aren't going to bring us peace. They're not going to bring us happiness. You know, the two most popular scriptures, the most memorized scriptures in the world today, the first one is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. But then the second one is what? Y'all know what the second most popular memorized scripture is? Okay, Jesus wept, good. Philippians 4:13, okay? Philippians 4:13, so I'll start it, and then you finish it. Here we go. I can do all things. Very good, okay? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me or gives me strength. And, you know, we say this all the time, like, ooh, I'm going to make the basketball team because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, or I can do this because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But have we ever read the passages before that? Why the Apostle Paul actually said this? In Philippians, in the beginning, he's writing to the church saying, hey, thank you for your concern with me, but I'm not saying this because I'm in need. For I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Apostle Paul saying this, look, I've been on both ends of the spectrum. I've been over here where I've been beaten, and I've been flogged, and I've been shipwrecked. I've been hungry. I've been starving. I've been cold. I've been put in prison. But I've also been over here where I've been well fed. I've been taken care of. I've been warm. I've had everything that I could need. And you know what? It doesn't matter where I am in life. I'm not chasing anything. I'm content. Because all I need is Jesus. That's all I need. When are we going to understand that? Because, church, I'm going to tell you tonight, I can stand here in front of you and say, all I need is Jesus, and I believe that. But when I leave this place, I'm going to find myself chasing something else. It's going to be a dead-end road. It's not going to bring me happiness. It's not going to bring me peace. When are we truly going to understand that this world is not my home? We can say it all we want, but let's truly believe it as a church. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. We are not going to stay here. We have a greater purpose. When are we truly going to understand that the things around us are temporary? We got to stop living for the things that are seen, but start living for the things that are unseen. The things around us that are seen are temporary. The things that are unseen are eternal. When are we truly going to understand that I'm not going to chase anything else of this world? Because all I need is Jesus. When am I truly going to be at peace no matter what situation I'm in, no matter what side of the spectrum I'm on? Because I know Jesus Christ and I have a relationship with him, and that's all I need. I love Wednesday nights for many reasons. But one of the main reasons I love this is because we can come together through the chaos of the week, of to-do list, of our work, of taking kids here and there. But we can come together during this hour and be reminded of why we truly exist. And so I tell you this tonight. I don't know what you're chasing. It's time for all of us to stop and be reminded tonight and tomorrow and however many days we have left that we have everything in Jesus. He came to this earth. He died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And 3 days later, that tomb was empty. And I can be at peace because that's all I need. I can be fulfilled through that. I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and then we're going to have one more song. Let's pray. God, it's good to be silent. It's good to be still. God, the world we live in today, go, go, go all the time. And we've been deceived into believing that we need more, that there's something else out there that's going to bring us peace and happiness. And if we could just catch that, God, that we could be fulfilled. God, the truth is the only thing that we need in this world we've already got. That's in your Son, Jesus Christ. So God, may we all not just talk tonight, but may we truly start walking. When we leave this building, may the world see that we have something different, that we're not chasing anything, because we do have your Son. God, help us all to be at peace no matter where our life is at this moment, because we know how this story is going to end. God, the story is going to end with us at home with you because of your Son. So thank you for this great night. Thank you for everything that you've given to us. And God, we give you all the glory. It's in Jesus' name that we pray.
Sovereign in the mountain air, sovereign on the ocean floor, with me in the calm, he is with me in the storm. Oh, sovereign in my greatest joy, sovereign in my deepest cry, with me in the dark, with me at the dawn. In your everlasting arms, all the pieces of my life, from beginning to the end, I can trust you. In your never-failing love, you work everything for good. God, whatever comes my way,
let's stand together. Sing it out.
The sovereign in the mountain air, the sovereign on the ocean, he is with me
in the calm.
Yes, he is with me
in the storm.
Oh, sovereign in my greatest joy, sovereign in my deepest cry, with me in the dark, with me at the dawn. From beginning to the end, I can trust you. In your never-failing love, you work everything for good. God, whatever comes my way, I will trust
God, whatever.
And God, whatever comes my way, I will trust
God, whatever.
And God, whatever comes my way, I will trust you, Lord.
Will you guys show your appreciation for Stuart tonight and for... Next week, we will be back, and we're going to continue the series, How to Start a Riot. In the meantime, go and start a riot and have a wonderful day tomorrow. God bless you guys.
I saw the Lord.